Hello, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 585. Maybe. This is one of those ones where I'm not sure exactly how it's going to go. Lisa and I had a long, well, as they end up being, I talked for a long time, and Lisa frustratedly listened, I guess. Not being able to get much of a word in edgewise. Don't know why I do that, but there it is. I don't know if it's Zenith traits or what. I don't know. Let's go ahead and call this another Zenith episode, just for the simple reason that I guess we're going to be talking about it because some things came up last night, and I guess we need to talk about it a little bit. Talked a lot about the positive things about, you know, being how being a Zenith could be very positive, and or at least have positive aspects to it. I guess now is a good time to talk about some of the negative sides that seemed to make my wife nuts, make her upset, and I proclaim justifiably so. You know, if she's upset and angry, there's good reason for it. You know, she has to live with me. She's committed to it. I was talking last night about how I feel, I don't know if it's broken or damaged. I certainly feel like I'm missing parts that regular people have. I often compare myself to a computer. I have more in common with computers than with people sometimes. And I need to preface all this with these are my perceptions. They may not be correct. There's a pretty good chance they're not correct, or they're not correct to the degree with which I seem to come at them. So know that. Don't immediately just discount what's being said for the simple reason that, well, that's not true. And you go, well, I may paint it as being a lot worse than it is, or than it seems to be, but it's still there. It's still a reality. You know, even if it may be to a lesser degree than the way I paint it here. Well, the way I painted it last night, for sure. Because I said that after I got done. I said, well, I need to be careful because, you know, I'm sure it's not that bad. This is my perception of it. And one of the problems with me is that my perceptions are out of whack. At least other people think they are, you know, and I have to at least partially take their word for it. You know, the dominant society gets to decide what normal is. And I don't get to, you know, I don't get to interject what I think particularly. Especially not being normal. You know, I'm certainly not an expert on normalcy at all. You know. Anyway, so I was thinking of those things that I'm missing, like missing circuits. If you remember back to the movie, a lot of people, I guess, didn't end up watching that movie because it was just a little too weird. 2001, The Space Odyssey. Remember HAL? The HAL 9000 computer? And the way they got him, the way they killed him, was they just kept taking parts and parts out of him until they finally killed him, you know. And the more parts they took out, kind of the more childlike Hal became, you know. Started singing his little song, Daisy, Daisy, you know. And, I guess I feel like I'm that artificial intelligence computer that has had a couple of things ripped out. You know, I can be accused of being cold, although I work really hard not to be. too analytical, which is funny. I just, you know, I take a personality test every now and then just to see if things have changed. I try to put enough time between them, and I try to kind of detach myself from what I know I've answered in the past so that I can try to be a little more honest when I do a repeat. Of course, I try to do different ones, have different questions. I did a range of them. You know, because those guys say, well, don't just depend on one test. Do several. And I'm still pretty firmly an INFP, which means I'm feeling, and it's like, you know, the flip side of that is thinking. And it's like, wow, I'm feeling? Whoa. But I guess that comes from the fact that I trust my feelings better than the empirical data that I bring in. I tend not to trust that empirical data so much because it's steered me wrong often enough that I just don't trust it. I end up trusting my own feelings and then not telling anybody what my feelings are. You know, because it's just not, I don't perceive it to be a safe thing to do, so I don't. And, anyway, so, just like that HAL 9000 computer, there's some stuff missing. You know, proper emotional response, that's gone. I'm starting to think that really the only passionate emotion I feel is anger. That's not very good. I'm not excited. You know, that's not something that's positive particularly. Although I do tend to try to channel that anger into work. I get angry enough, I finally get around to doing stuff that probably needed to be done a lot sooner. And, I'm missing a lot of stuff. Now, one tries to put up a mask, put up a false front, a facade, try to make it look better. If you've ever seen the modern countertop, what you have is a fascia, a little extremely thin veneer covering, you know, that either gives you the impression that it's stone or some solid piece of something or other. You know, it could be a certain kind of wood if you're, like, building a bookshelf or something. But, you know, down inside, it's not even particle board anymore. It's sawdust and glue, you know. I wouldn't even qualify this stuff as wood. I mean, it's got a lot of wood pulp in it, but, you know, it certainly has none of the earmarks of having been naturally grown anymore. It's just wood and glue. And that's me. You know, I try to put a nice human veneer on myself and then try to hide the fact that underneath I'm just sawdust and glue. I just look like a human. you know, and I talk a bit like one when I really kind of temper myself and don't reveal myself very well. I can sound like a very cold, uncaring, aloof human. And, you know, and if people have that impression of me, well, you know, that's what it appears to be. And art appearance is pretty much what people rate as reality. And, you know, there's really no point in trying to battle that perception. Because I get a feeling I'll just lose that battle. People are very good at defending what they see and saying, this is what you are, and you're nothing besides that. And you just need to pull your life together. And it's like, well, okay, thank you. You know, and then I'll just wander off because what they're telling me isn't terribly useful. And I'm wondering if those of you who may be Zenith 2, parents of those with ADHD, parents of those, or siblings of those with ADHD or autism, that you go, you know, I find I have a lot in common with my ADHD autistic brother, sister, mother, father, whatever, you know, child, and you know, that's where all this Zenith stuff that I have talked about in the past comes from. It comes from that, you know. My first definition was I was the father of an autistic person. And now it's like, well, you know what? I've got some pretty big gaps in myself. And what does that mean? If I went to some psychologist, I'm sure they would just plaster the autism label right on me. Other people that won't do that. You know, I guess you can go to a doctor with the expectation in your head. I didn't go with an expectation. I didn't go proclaiming one just enough to tell them that this is what other people found. And you know, at least it was showing us the fact that we don't have a lot of common things between us. That's an important thing in marriage. For her, and I think it's important in marriage, period, you know, that you need to have common things that you enjoy that you can share together. And I guess I wasn't being terribly helpful finding those common interests, you know, honestly. It's how many... Do I have any interests? You know, there's my obsessions and my fetishes. Those don't, at least for normal society, don't rise to the level of being an interest. They're sick, they're twisted. They're not right. When you go, you know what, that's really all I have when it comes to something that's even akin to an interest. So, I can imagine that it was an extremely frustrating exercise for my wife. And I finally said, you know, you're talking, you're throwing needs at me as if I'm a normal person. She gets upset because I do a whole bunch for her, but yet I don't give her anything to do for me. And I go, well, Lisa, I don't really have any needs. I either take care of them or I ignore them. Or, frankly, I don't feel, you know, people all talk about their needs as if they're these huge, monstrous things in their lives. And I don't feel I have big, monstrous things in my life that I need. of course, then she thinks I'm blocking, that I'm not communicating with her. And I go, Lisa, I communicate with you constantly. You want to know more about me? Guy, I've bent your ear. You're probably nauseated over just the raw amount of information. And yet, that information doesn't seem to satisfy. I go, you know what? I'm not normal. I'm not wired like you are. You keep expecting me to be this normal person that I'm just hiding. I'm hiding. She talked about the fact that she wishes we had the kind of relationship we had years ago when we were younger. And I made a horrible revelation to her. And I think she took it really well. In the past when I'd even approached this, she's gotten so upset and didn't want to talk about it. I don't want to go there. And I didn't want to last night. She'd drag it out of me. And I finally said, you know what, Lisa? You know, you fell in love with the person you married. And I go, but yikes, that person you married was a facade. That was something. That was a mask I made up to be presentable to society. You go, and over time, of course, we get accustomed to each other. We let down our guard as we can. So now that you're getting dissatisfied with me, I'm worried that the stuff that dissatisfied is the real me. Is Jay. As opposed to the mask, that scares me. Because that means, you know, I can't say much because I didn't know I was so weird. I didn't know I was so different when we got married. You know, I feel like that Lisa ordered or wanted, or was going out and trying to get just a regular person to love and to share and to have a normal, healthy, wonderful relationship with. And everybody had the impression that I was one of those people, or at least she did, and I have no basis with which to argue. I don't know. At least I think I perceive that now, I'm really not a person to be, that should be asked about any of this stuff. But she was sold a bill of goods. You know, here you go, here's a reasonably normal person. If you relate to him, he can relate to you and everything's cool. You know, and you guys can work out whatever small problems there are between you. And then all of a sudden what happened was one figures out what they really got. You know, and it's like, in my case, it's a big, because all those basic assumptions that you have, you know, he's a human being, everything's great. You know, I can have reasonable expectations that he's going to have a lot in common with me just because we're both people. You know, and I disappoint. I am disappointing. Or I may be. My shields down to do a Star Trek analogy. I let my shields down, and typically when I do that, I regret having done it almost every time. But I always do it, I don't know, foolishly, thinking that someday when it's done, that's gonna have been a good thing to do. That maybe I'll be understood a little bit. I think last night we actually got to it. It's really hard. People I think by nature are really defensive. And I understand. And, you know, and they always think that everybody's blaming them. Do I do that? You know, I probably do that too. I don't know if that's natural or if that's just learned. I don't know. But, you know, and my feelings, which aren't to be trusted, I'm the only one that has to trust them because they're the only things I really have to go by. Nobody else needs to trust them, which means that I probably shouldn't be talking very much. On these podcasts, I hope you're never, well, I probably presented some of the stuff I've said as advice. I probably will again. But, you know, if you're a normal person, guy, don't listen to me. Or don't try to base your decisions on what I say, because chances are either they're A, wrong, which is what society mostly tells me, is my perceptions are wrong, but or they're really not useful for you, and that you really shouldn't pay much attention to them. I do this podcast mostly just to express myself, to vent, and you guys can and tell you what I'm thinking, and you guys can take it for whatever you want. And if there's nothing there worth taking, don't do it. Don't take it. Please. I don't want anybody to say, well, I did what Jay Nimro told me to do. That was really stupid. And it's like, yes. You know, whatever disclaimer I can give you that's strong enough, take it. This is for entertainment purposes only. You know? That's all this podcast is. Philosophical entertainment. If you take it any more deeply than that, do so. You do it at your own risk. I won't be held responsible. I'm trying to figure myself out, and chances are I got it wrong. You know, the whole Zenith thing, I have no clue. I'm starting to think I do a really great disservice. I was praying this morning when I stopped sleeping. I was thinking about things. I really want to be the husband my wife needs. I really do. Now, I'm not saying I do a good job. I'm not saying that's even honorable. You know, don't try to say, oh, well, isn't he so sacrificing? No. You know, don't paint a picture. You know, because I'll tell you, you know, I'll prove you wrong. I know so many people that wish they were doing good, but you can just look at them and say, guy, you know, maybe you should just leave people alone. And I'm starting to worry that I'm one of those people. You know, people who are just damaged. You know, you can call them sick in the head. You know, and when they try to be helpful, they're actually hurting people all the time. You know, they're people that get taken advantage of a lot. And, I really don't want to get taken advantage of. I don't think anybody likes it. I don't like it. There are people I know who could easily be said, you know, they got problems. You know? I'm sorry. Maybe that's part of the temptation to get away from other people is just so that, number one, I don't have to deal with them, and number two, I don't have to bother anybody. I guess that's always been one of my desires, is I don't want to cause anybody any trouble. And ultimately, when it comes down to it, I cause a lot of people a lot of trouble. Cleaning up after Jay can be a real chore. You know, my wife is struggling with our relationship. And so what do I feel like? I'm causing her problems. At the very least, she should be able to come home at night and have a pleasant life. And I feel like I'm failing her on that. On something that should be relatively simple. You know, something that everybody just anticipates. You know, I get married to this person loves me, I love them, we'll take care of each other, everything will be, you know, there'll be challenges to face, but everything will be all right. And it's like, well, I come trying to be that, I come trying to do that, but I fail. So, I was praying this morning when I woke up that God would change me somehow. You know, I want to be the kind of husband my wife needs, and that seems to need a lot of changing. Now, she goes, Jay, I feel really guilty because you make it sound like you're doing all the changing and I'm not doing a thing but being demanding. And I constantly tell her not to worry about it. She presupposes I have feelings here that are similar to her own, and I don't. Or I don't seem to. Or I don't let those things affect me. Or I'm just so broken I can't feel anymore. I don't know. I don't know. So, I don't want her to feel heartache over, but she does anyway. You can't just tell somebody not to and they won't. They're still going to feel the way they feel. And I guess Lisa and I have different attitudes about what the problem is, and I'm pretty sure I'm wrong. Because I tend to look at it as a fiscal way. If Lisa had more money, we could fix up her house the way she wants it. And I don't think she's ever gotten down to saying, Jay, that's not my problem. Because I think in a way it is. You know? It ends up, I was telling her, I said, humans are weird for the simple reason that they rarely say what they really think. They rarely address the big problems. They don't want to. Because I guess that means that they have deeper, larger problems and they don't want to admit to that. And I guess I've gotten to the point to where it's like, oh, God, I'm just screwed up, okay? So any help I can get, hopefully I'll be grateful to have. Some days some people just irk me so bad, I don't want to have anything to do with any of it. I try to keep up a good facade around my children, and it falls apart. And that's when I get the most angry, is when things fall apart, when I'm not being the good, smooth, mild-mannered, father-knows-best sort of a guy that I think really helps children, you know. And when I can't do that, I get nasty, ugly mad. Mostly at myself for having not kept up the front. I wonder if a lot of other Zenith people are like that. I wonder if there's a lot of other people that say, yes, Jay, I have that experience. That's me, too. I'd like to hear from you if you want to do that. If you want to contact me, feel free. The address is autism@quix.us. Mail it in to me, or your comment, or your expression of camaraderie, or whatever. Whatever you want to say. I guess I feel too responsible for my wife's feelings And when she's not feeling good, I take it personally that I've done something to make this happen, or that I need to fix it somehow. And maybe I shouldn't. Although I think it's gotten to the point to where if I don't do that, my wife will get angry because I'm not trying to be helpful. Although I perceive that what I usually try to give as help isn't useful, and it doesn't make her feel any better either. So it's like, oh, God, how do I deal with this? So I finally got back to the very beginning, or she finally did. I finally said, what's happening when we did this all start? She was saying it's because we don't share common things. So I decided to try to do something, you know? It's almost impossible for her to come to where I am. How on earth did she reduce herself to being this damaged? So I do what I do, which is I do my best to put on a happy face. Everything's great. We're going to do what Lisa wants to do. And that's okay. You know, is it tiring? I guess, yeah. I'm testing to be tired a lot. I don't know if it's just from the weariness of trying to keep things up. I don't know. You know. I don't want her to feel guilty, but it's like, well, I'm throwing a guilt trip on her anyway. You know? But I think at its root, it's the problem is unresolvable. You know, I can't be the person she wants to be. I'm not capable of it. You know, Jay, I just need you to be more normal. Now she doesn't say that. I don't want you guys to get the impression that she just bold-faced tells me stuff I can't do. Jay, you need to be Superman. You need to fly. You need to do this stuff. Because she's not. She's not asking for that. Lisa's wonderful. The fact that she puts up with me is fantastic. I'm very grateful to her. I try to show that gratitude in the things I do for her to try to make her life better. I think that gives her a guilt trip, too, because it all seems to center around her. I said, I'm sorry. That's just the way I am. If it's a problem for you, you know, on occasion, I give her the opportunity to leave without any repercussions. I will diligently fight before anybody, including God, if they say, well, you weaseled out of your marriage. That wasn't the right thing to do. And I'll go to bat for her in a minute. I'll say, she did more in our marriage than you'll ever know. I don't care if you're God. You know? I'll defend you. And I'll say, no, I gave her the opportunity to leave and have just a more peaceful life without having to deal with me. And I, you know, and don't you dare, you know, if anybody's blamed, it's me for having suggested the thing. Okay? There it is. I don't mind taking that blame. I don't mind if she ends up in the celestial place where God is and I get sent someplace else because of my sins. Well then, so be it. I don't know. I don't know. I'm broken. There's something really sincerely wrong with me. And I can't, I'm not in the position to do much about it, I don't think, you know? I'm broken. Somebody else needs to fix me. And it's going to have to be God at some point. And I just have to have faith that God is kind. And that God will look at the extenuating circumstances. I hope. Anyway, well, that's all I have for this one. I think I'm going to go ahead and hang on to it and make it life autistic, because I think it's a pretty good example of how some autistic people from some zenith might be feeling. They might have the same kind of experience that I do. And, well, there it is. If some psychologist wants to send me a letter and say, I listen to all your podcasts, Jay, and you're, you know, here, let me, you need to come into the office so we can do an evaluation on you, because I think you're nuts, you know. You may have this, you may have that syndrome. Like, well, thank you. Maybe. Sounds great. I guess. I don't know if illumination's really the answer anymore. Anyway, this is Jay Nemro. You've been listening to episode 585. Should I call it Zenith Gone Wild? A Zenith Goes Native. You know, open mouth, insert foot. That should be the universal symbol of Zenith. You have an open mouth with your foot shoved in. Try and choke yourself with it. Let a researcher shoot you with drugs or something, because, you know, you're unique. Anyway. Zenro 585, if you'd like to contact me, the email address is autism, AUTISM, at Quix, QUIX.US. This is Jay Nemro. Have a great day. Where's my pointer? Hello? Oh, I'm going to kill somebody. I can't find the pointer. Hello? Oh, my gosh. There it is. Have a nice day. Bye.